Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Chicago, WVON 1690. You're tuned in live to the Dorothy Tillman Show. Thank you.
Necessarily those of WVON, Midway Broadcasting Corporation, or our participating sponsors.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
Y'all know what the funky Broadway is? No, y'all know what the funky Broadway is. Y'all don't even know where Broadway is. Maybe Broadway in Bronzeville, huh? But y'all don't know nothing about the funky Broadway. You know, all that, I was telling Evan this morning, because I saw Jamie Foxx's new program that's coming up. And it's so similar to Bill Cosby. But it's missing that Bill Cosby stuff, you know. And I said to Ebony, we got a generation of people who just don't create nothing original. They take other folks' stuff, try to remake it, and make it into their own. We need to think about that. Because we were the generation that, whoa, what's going on here? I'm using the mic. I don't know what's going on. He better see, okay. We were the generation that gave a lot. We gave so much to y'all. I don't care what y'all say, how much you talk about us. We was the generation that gave a lot to our people. And so did our parents before us and before that, that really gave a lot and put a lot of thought into a lot of things in terms of what we needed to do as a people. We were that generation. We gave y'all a lot. People talk stuff. But we gave a lot. We gave enough that We were able to make folks respect our people, to pay them their wages, to put them on boards, put them on TV, put them in places and positions they weren't in, to get paid for athletes, be able to just do a lot of things to become part of this world, a part of this American dream. But those who reap the economic, education, political benefit did not give back. And that's our biggest problem. And now you have, even with our music, you know, I was thinking the other day when I was listening, or when I heard the Delphonics, and I heard Mothries and the Vandellas, I heard the Dales, I heard all kind of folks, Stair Steps. I mean, when I thought about all of the people, Dinah Washington, all the people that we had, folk music, all the people that, the music that we turned out. And I was told that music is so important for a brain, and to, it's like psychological, it's like it's good therapy. And that's why we got to run, and from the time we left Africa to we got here, we've always, that was part of our connection. Because when you go to Africa, go to them clubs, you find out they play our music too. They call it highlight. Aretha Franklin and all of them. But there was a basic drum. You know, Jimmy, the kid's father called it skin on skin, the drums. Master Henry, y'all might not know him, but that was a master of the bongos. I told Jimmy, we got to teach our boys bongos. We were just music. Music coming out of our ears, out of our toes, out of our head, out of our nose. Anything, we made songs up. Rap wasn't new, because that's what Lou Rawls and a lot of them did, was rap. It was just clean. We wasn't, it was a, you know, we sung about everything. We just did not overtly call our women bees and curse. We always, that was a lift up song. That was a get me out of jail song. Get me out of depression song. It was all kind of, I love Jesus. So it was like, and now, you don't, you have, Cab Calloway, yeah, but now you have, our children, they just, if you watch your children, because I be looking at my grandchildren, when they glued to their phones or glued to that their little tablet, they're really not listening to our music. Unless you make them plug into some kind of place that plays our music. And they be listening. But when they're looking at these artists singing, they're getting influenced by these little young white girls and white boys. And every now and then you got one or two, you can even name three or four artists. But we were the generation that gave so much, gave music. We gave so much. And a lot of our music came out of the church. That's why we call it soul music, because it touched your soul. And when the move was to take music out of the schools, that hurt, because what happened to Walter Dye? Walter Dye trained a lot of folks, including Jimmy Tillman, the kid's father. They kept them away from the gangs. And Walter Dye was like their father. Jimmy said Walter Dye to put one of them drumsticks upside their head. Or when you was at Philip, or when you was at, the band was very important in schools as they was organized. You belonged to some kind of club. You was in the band, the glee club. You was in football, basketball. You was in the choir. You was in the artist club, science club, math club, which people have to bond together. As they bond, you know, they begin, and that's only natural. And then you have somebody in nowhere came out of nowhere and told us. And then there was competition. And competition is so important. Every animal, whether they're ones that God gave them, meaning of the earth or others, have to have that. Boys have to wrestle. Boys, that's what we had, organized sports and stuff. You have to teach them how, it's not how you lose. It's not that you lose, it's how you lose or how you win. It almost was a teaching. And then along came the way, said nobody should lose. Everybody should get a blue ribbon. Nobody loses. Nobody say this and nobody say that. You can't say mother or father because some child might be in the school that might not have a mother or father. Come on, y'all. That never came from us. Never. And we got to teach sex because these children might not get it home. Never have I seen so much attention put on sex and other stuff and keep me in violence. Keep your mind over there and you don't come up with none. I don't think Booger T. Washington or none of those folks would have came the way they did. The Talented Ten, Daniel Hale Williams, Joy Washington Cobb. None of these folks would have come up with stuff. Mary McLeod Bethune, Miss Elam, the S.B. Fuller would have came up if they had the mindset that's being put on our children today. Now, I'm not going to touch this boy that got killed in the village too much. I know this is, you know, it's like some of these commentaries or talk shows or even the news, if they don't have violence or hate to talk about, they don't have an audience. They don't have to call them, or they don't have nothing. They got to talk about racism. They never took time to study what racism was or is. I'm talking about our black folks, too. They just run it off at the mouth because it sounds good. Or they like to talk about, they talked about Trump. Trump gone out, so they got to figure out how to do this stuff. And then we're supposed to, I remember the DJs was really a positive force for us. You know, they told us stuff, and they helped us, and they played our music. Span and all of them, they was a help. They wasn't a hinder or making you feel so weighed down that you don't want to come out of the house. Now, this young man who was shot by the police the other day, I heard his lawyer say he was assassinated. That's the word she used last night. I thought that was interesting. What about Tamir Rice was the young man that was shot. Now, they said that baby, they never referred to Tamir as the boy in Cleveland as a baby. We have really been getting our children killed every day, and if I can just get all them folks, and I'm not saying we should not deal with whatever's wrong, but nobody does nothing when our children are just shooting up each other. We got an internal, external problem, and that don't mean that you don't deal with the external, but the internal must be dealt with. When this lady said that a 10-year-old boy, a child, them kids came around her car and carjacked her and put a gun in her face. I was in Chatham somewhere. One of the ladies was coming out. All the stuff that you're so nervous. I was talking to a young man at the dentist the other day. Well, it wasn't no young man. He had to be about 60. And I was telling him, he didn't want to start to talk because Floyd trial was on. That's an emotional drain that everybody watching every day. Because there's no balance. And I was telling him, I said, there's got to be a balance here somehow for our children. What kind of balance? I said, if this is all they see, they don't think it's anything for them. And this is not all of us. This is a part of us. And that's it's enough to make us angry, but it's a small part. Nah. I said, but the internal, I know what the internal. I said, you know, how do we teach our children and say what the police did to Floyd was wrong? And then they must be dealt with and a trial must happen. Do we tell our children who Floyd was? We tell them that the last time he was in jail that he had put a gun in a black woman's stomach while our children looked? Do we tell them that and say, crime lead up to this? This is no good. Because that when the boy that got shot and his office got away with it in Wisconsin, if the police said stop, then you stop. You know, you see, and I know something still might happen. But what kind of conversation we get? We embolden our young men and women and making them so angry they think they got to fight back. And then we end up with a funeral versus bail money versus fighting them while children are alive. You know, you got to look at all of this stuff and you got to begin to see. If you notice the young man Tlaib that the police shot the other night, it was early morning. They didn't tear up their community. I want y'all to know that now. Little Village did not get tore up at all. What they did do is they were Catholicism. Some of them are not, but most of them are. But in spite of whatever they are doing, they're very still connected to their spirituality and their religion. So they painted a picture of Tlaib, the art. I find it interesting. I saw it this morning. So our teacher's painting a picture of him with wings going to heaven. We don't do that. We just start talking some other stuff. We come up with stuff like this man, you know. And it was interesting because he said he was an art teacher at the school across the street. I'm assuming that's Farragut. Do we still have our teachers in our schools? Then I read where the Latin school get ready to mobilize. It was a school that get children prepared to go into college, whatever they're going to do. I don't like all this killing and shooting because I do believe in nonviolence. I think it's just awful when a child life is snuffed out. whether snuffed out by the police or by each other. And we do have more killings in our community than we do by the police. And I don't like the police doing it. I don't like our children doing it. And the question is, where is this anger coming from? We got to really deal with this stuff. Now, you know, you have to, when you get upset, you got to fight or flight. You only have two options. Do you fight or do you flight? But, now, I'm not talking about when you're dealing with authority. See, one thing we have done is teach our children not to believe in authority. Whether it's wrong or bad, they don't listen to their mamas, not all of them. You have to have structure. And you got to know there's a God and a consequence, and they don't believe, not all, but a lot of our folks, the older people my age taught their children don't even believe in God. So, but you must have structure. If you didn't have structure, when you came to a red light, you would have an accident. Everything got to have order, and you got to have structure. You got to have male and female. You cannot put electrical stuff together like male and female. But you got, our children look so confused now, because I'm constantly dealing with my grandchildren and any other children be around me, and I just be listening to them so I can know how to address this stuff. Because this stuff is being embedded in their minds, so gender, you know, that ain't nothing, they gay, that's a lot. You know, when you look at our folks, and we passed a good bill, yeah, you passed, you know, why should our children learn about LGBT? That's sex. That's a choice somebody want to be. That's their business. Why not? Our children should be taught that there's no mother, there's no father. Who are these sick people coming up with this stuff, there's no mother, there's no father? There's no breastfeed, there's chest feed. There's some stuff going on here that these people got to go undergo some psychological stuff. You know, they got to undergo something because these folks are really destroying some young minds. I would like to hear our children having a competition in science and math and talking that kind of stuff. You know, when my children was growing up, and when you were growing up, your parents gave you a doctor kit for Christmas so that you could put play doctor. Or they brought you something that you can build with the hammer and the nail on. I bought my children a lot of electronic stuff when they was young, and they would say, and the other children in the neighborhood would come around and play, where y'all get that? Where y'all get that from, my mama? I was always looking for things to advance their minds and stuff. We gave little girls dolls. What was wrong with giving little girls dolls? Daddy ain't saying, no, that's sexism to give a little girl a doll. No, it's not. Or to give a little boy, you know, I don't understand. If people want to have their world, that's that, but they should not control our children, because our children are really confused. It's just thinking we took the same energy and we tried to make them doctors or lawyers or just creating a skill. Why do we put this energy into fighting to make sure that our children, because right now you got a lot of building going on, a lot of contracts are being made while we caught over here, keep your eyes over here, but federal contracts, city contracts, state contracts, and other folks are really going on those jobs. Be clear on that, black folks. Because some of them ain't going to, they're learning these skills that we should have. Yeah, you can go and get your infrastructure, which ain't about 10% of that bill is infrastructure. But how many black people going to work on that infrastructure because of the skills? And why aren't we fighting these unions to make sure they put black children and study them? Why are we fighting back to put in vocational training back in the schools? When I went to school, you said, I want to trade. And all of the children in the schools, the food was prepared by the students, and they had someone there over them to teach them how to cook. Some of my friends, like John Bonham, he's gone now. He went on, him and his sister Hazel used to be over our school when I was in Pensacola, not in Montgomery, and they would feed us. We'd go get our lunch at Obadiah and all of us in that. And John ended up going on. All of them went to the Navy and Air Force and stuff like that, because I don't saw folks go into service. When they came out, he used the skills and the benefits he had to build his company, his culinary company. And he was in Washington and Maryland. He ended up getting contracts for the White House. He's, God rest his soul, he passed too early on us. But that was a skill that he learned. I know of some folks who was in cosmetology, and I got major schools down there. Some folks who took up auto mechanics now got shops and stuff, or tailoring. You know, we still have to make clothes. Why don't we have some place, you know, we still, these, let me tell you, I bought some jeans the other day. And the things came down. I said, what the world? That's why half of these folks be losing, because they make these clothes in foreign country. I don't know what they put in them, but they stretch. And when you sit down, they go down. And half of your butt be showing. And not that you be doing it. The clothes is made like that. But we don't have that. We're not teaching. You know, my grandmother had a single sewing machine. It was you watch them sew. We had home economics in school where you learn how to put a button on. What's wrong with all that stuff? That's what y'all got to tell me. They're life skills. But our children are so weighed down. It's either our children just weighed down. So I've just been watching what they're looking at, and you got other folks training them. They're raising up a nation of their own. How in the world does sex get prominency over learning how to read and write and math and all in a curriculum over there? Now, our children have not been in school the whole year. I was reading where CPS got so many billions of dollars from the government. Well, if you got that kind of money, my taxes still going on Mayor Lightfoot, because my taxes went through the roof this year, and I need a refund on some of this stuff, because y'all, the Board of Education tax you and get money for school. The city tax you to get money for the school. City College tax you to get money to go to City College. The library tax you for the library. All these folks tax you. Do we get any of this money back since they didn't use them? Nope. But you don't understand government, so you wouldn't know that. They're not teaching you. You don't even understand world history. You're talking stuff, but you can't even go to a globe or go to a map and show what stuff is. If you got to understand world history and global history, that's a must. Folks will say, well, I'm an African-American, Africa. Show me. You don't even know where Africa is on the map or what part of Africa you want to go to or learn anything about that. You're just talking. You think if you just put on a shirt to say I'm Africa with an Africa thing, and some of y'all don't even know how to pinpoint or don't even plan no trip to go. There's something that's going on here, and it is to really, and I know y'all think I'm being conspiratorial, but the descendants of enslaved blacks in America is getting wiped out. You don't have to believe it. You don't watch what's coming across that border. Them Polo children, they coming by the thousands. Some of those kids are 17, 18 years old, but they don't show you the men and the women coming across the border. All you got to do is look at when you go to the store, just check it out. And y'all be talking Mexico. There ain't all no Mexican coming in here. You got folks coming from all over the world. And you got white Europeans coming from the European country. Look around your community. When you see the white folks in your community that was all black, they're not American whites. And they're not afraid. That's why they sit here. Come to your community. And they walk up down 43rd Street and don't be scared. Now women be holding onto their purse like they scared somebody going to rip them off. Because you don't understand. I want you to call me this morning, and we're going to talk about this stuff. The replacement. You need to talk about what's going on here. Why would Biden and all these folks come in? And then him and Kamala have not gone to the border. How are you the leader of this country? Go down there and see what's going on. You got to see. You got to lead us. You were elected to lead us. What's down there? I'm not going down there. Why aren't you going down there? The schools, and let me tell y'all something. I don't know what town you live in if you're not in Chicago. Chicago is a sanctuary city. Pritchard made the state a sanctuary state, which means the busloads are on their way, and they're already getting dropped off. And I'm not knocking folks if they come in. You know, I'm not coming in legally. I'm not knocking that. But why they're doing that, they're changing the voting law, and you holler, oh, yeah, get rid of, I guess, the guy who found out about the water, knowing I was right now. They don't want, the main thing is they don't want voter ID. They want you to be able to vote without ID, to vote absentee without ID, folks in harvest ballots. And I want to federalize our election for the congressional, for the federal, and give you guidelines for the state, which means that regardless of how bad your elected officials are, that you might not like, if you still have local control, you can at least mobilize and organize, put your people in. That's how we did Harold. We wouldn't have been able to put Harold and that whole team, Dan and Bobby and everybody, to go in with him. Ed, we put the whole team to go in. In every ward, we ran somebody to go in with Harold so Harold could have somebody, have a team with him. If they do the election like they got it now, you won't have it. Federalizing the election, federalizing, drawing the map. Now, they're having meetings with the remap now. I don't know how engaged the black people are in the remap. I really don't know. Have they studied? Do they know? Are they waiting for somebody to give them order? But if they take control of drawing the remap, then you have no way of fighting. Barnett and all of them, and, you know, when we had to fight for the fair map and all of that, the Crosby brothers and Barnett and everybody fought for the remap to make sure that we was able to redraw the boundaries so we was able to get somebody else for Harold, to put Harold in, Marlene Carter, and all the rest of them to get enough people to have down there. You got to have local control. But they tell you, oh, my God, it's systemic, it's racism, it's this, it's that. And you haven't read nothing. And the reason they don't want you to have no ID is because these folks flood across here. So they count them in, you lose seats. Not only do you lose congressional seats, you lose state seats, and you lose city seats and county seats. Because this administration, these people want to count everybody. As part, if you're not legally in this community, you shouldn't have to be counted for representation. Count to say you're here. But y'all just don't understand, Chicago's going to get flooded. Even Alabama and Mississippi and Florida, all them states who are not used to this, is going to get flooded. What does that mean? Your schools. Oh, they're already teaching those children in school right now. But they're going to move them up while you're still sitting around and your children are not able to compete. There's a problem here, y'all, and it's going to fall on our backs. Y'all don't have to believe that. You can sit around and... They told me they were sending the Haitians back. I don't know for sure. I got to find out. Somebody called and told me they send Haitians back who come across that border, because a lot of folks come across that border from everywhere, even terrorists. Everybody come across that border. But somebody called and told me that they sending Haitians back. Let me find out for sure. I don't know. I don't like to put rumors out. These folks they're bringing have priority for housing. How many folks we got waiting on the housing list? How many? They getting all this money. That's why you saw in the paper yesterday, talking about the federal government going to send everybody who got a child $300 for tax credit to make sure they have money. Yeah, know why they doing that? Because they're giving all these illegals all this money, and they got to pacify you. And you say, well, I got me $300 from the government. I got this. So you don't fight back. It is your tax dollars. It is so deep. And I'm just sorry. I was talking to Small, Professor Small, the other day because I was going to get him on. I get him on another day. And he was saying, I said, they haven't torn up Little Village yet, and they're not letting the folks come in. He said, that's because of their leadership. The leadership went down, met with Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, and they came out with that they're going to give money to their those different organizations and that's servicing the youth in their community, and they'll give money to their businesses. You don't have none. You're all over the place. So they came out, and they were satisfied and went about their business. And they did not tear up their community. Not at all. Even in Memorial Day, when our community was being torn up, those Latino people in Little Village and all over there got over top of the roof, said, you come over here, we're going to shoot you. Don't come over here. You're not tearing up our community. That's the difference having currency and country. Y'all need to stop repeating stuff. And y'all, I got folks still angry at me because I've been trying to tell them the truth. But I just can't stand that daughter. She just be talking. No, I have no problem with nobody. But I love black people. Harold said to love black people don't need me. You hate anybody else. And I told you last when I played Dr. King to listen how many times he came back around to black people. What I need to know, y'all need to tell me, what leaders in this country today that we have that's actually coming together to work on an agenda for black people? Y'all tell me, not people of color, not the minority, but for us, so we can protect our future and our next generation. So I want to hear from you this morning. I want you to tell me, about your schools, about your community. I don't mean, our life shouldn't be based off of just crime And our life shouldn't just be based off of just hate. And our life should not be based off of just pain. And everybody keep us in pain so they can gain. Last thing before I take a break. Ain't nobody worried. Last thing before I take a break. They talking about the Asian racism. I told y'all, racism between, that was between black folks and Anglo-Saxon. Everybody using it now. When I saw the Asians, look, we eat your food. You're all in our community. You do our nails, because Asians more than Chinese has got all kinds. You do our nails. You do our hair. You up in our community in spots we don't even have. Give me a break. Now you see all of this. You had Tammy Duckworth said that she wasn't going to vote for nothing for the president unless he see about the Asians. Well, Tammy, Asians didn't put you in. Black folks put a lot of votes behind you. I haven't heard her say anything about black folks yet. You better think about it, because they're nationalistic. You can't get angry at them. Y'all are the one that want to be nationalistic. Either you're cowards, you're scared, or you don't know no better. Now, all over the country, you got Chinatown. They mark their community. They're in school. They're the highest, the Asians are the highest learning than anybody in this country. Black folks are the last on the totem pole. And reading and math and stuff. And you're going to let, now you join in with, we got to step this racism against Asia. Y'all, come on. They have problems in New York and San Francisco. Them two cities ought to deal with it. You show me where you mark your community. I tried to mark ours. I got those four people on the corner on the statues, and I got statues on the pole, and I was going to use our culture and our language and our arts and all of how I was going to build that community. Them folks went crazy. Pellegrino went to the mayor and asked the mayor, said, if Doris and Tim put a blues district, he asked Daley, if Doris and Tim put a blues district over there, what's going to happen to the north side to my blues? He said, I don't know. You have to go, you know, I can't do nothing about it. And the reason he couldn't do nothing about it, because I understood government and began to build, to mark our community like Greektown, Little Italy, all these other places, and rather than other folks just come building and building in our community. You know, businesses, and I'm gonna put all that in the book one day so y'all can see all the businesses and all the stuff he's gonna do, so you can understand why not only did the folks here come after me, but nationally they came after me, and they was having a fit, and we was on the teachers about education, so it was all about that. We're the only group in this country that when we began to fight for ourselves, they assassinate our people, they assassinate us politically, economically, or physically, because you're not supposed to fight on behalf of your people. That's why they killed Dr. King. That's why Harold had problems, because you cannot. And most of your leaders are scared. They say, people of color, ain't no people of color, nothing. There's a difference. I am really upset. I don't like that young man getting killed, but we got folks being killed too, but they did not destroy their community. And what you do with us, somebody told me, Dorothy, you stop all that black stuff, you'll be all right. What the hell? What's wrong with you? That's all I'm trying to tell y'all. I want to know, what do you have in your community? Look at the negotiation. You know, and if I noticed, y'all, the superintendent was not next to the mayor when she made her statement, and I sure want to see that. I want to see that. Ain't nobody worried about us. Ain't nobody worried. And we got to worry about it. I know y'all get sick of hearing me every week, so I'm trying to shake y'all. And I want y'all to tell me about the community, that who is our leaders that's fighting on behalf of black people. I don't mean the colored. I don't mean the minority. I mean who have gotten together and said, like they used to do, and said, this is what we're going to work on, and those who want to help us can come. Or are we following other folks' agendas? Talk of Chicago, 1690 VON. Direct the right, Tim, right in the great city of Chicago. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with me every Saturday right here. Our number is 77WVON, doing the great black view. I mean, we're the largest talk radio station in the nation. I don't think we have that bit like this in one of the few black radio stations. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. You're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, a group Facebook, and we blog talk if you miss us. And I'll be right back, y'all. Call back, y'all. Y'all been calling and hanging up. I'll be right back. I'm going to take some calls when I come back. Carry on.
about it, Word. Be right back, y'all. I Word. Be right back, y'all.
Clean energy is for everyone. The Clean Energy Jobs Act, CEJA, focuses on environmental justice and has equity at its core. It's time to see new technology, jobs, and services in our neighborhood. Thank you to committed supporters, including Pastor Onkwe, Speaker Welsh, Senator Peters, Representatives Buckner and Harper, and advocates like Angela Morrison. CEJA can't wait.
It is my shot to give back to the community.
To go to church.
To hold my newborn niece.
For yourself, your family, friends, and community. Everyone has a different reason for getting their COVID-19 vaccine. No matter the reason, the facts about the vaccine are the same. It's safe and effective and works with your immune system so you can better fight COVID-19 if you're exposed.
It's my shot and I'm taking it.
Learn more about the vaccine from real Cook County residents at myshotcookcounty.com.
Chicago, we are coming out of the woods and closer to the life we miss so much in the Windy City. The places we used to hang out, the friends we used to hug, the games we used to cheer for at the stadium. So let's get back to it, Chicago. Let's get the right information. Let's get registered and let's get the vaccine when it's our turn. Let's come together to help end this pandemic. Visit shy.gov/COVIDVax.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hello, Titus. I tell you, jamming over there, Titus. Titus, my other little adopted son. You have to always get me some more children. Hear what that jam, y'all. I'm telling y'all, I prayed this morning. I'm in another kind of space here. You know, my birthday is coming up May 12th, so usually I go into another space and another prayer. But I want y'all to earnestly tell. When we was growing up, we had a lot of leaders. We had a lot of MIA. I went up there to the MIA office, sit up there, and they'd be telling us about black folks, what we had to do to fight for ourselves, and they fought for our education. And you had folks putting together private schools and this and that, and we had our churches. And then even when they hit the NAACP before it got so somewhere else right now, even when we had that, we had in Pensacola, we had our Bernard William and father was over the NAACP, and they would teach us all about black stuff. So who's leading us? I want y'all to tell me what group we have that is working on behalf of black people that you see in the national spotlight. I'm not talking no violence and all that. That's really coming together to say what we need. The leadership from Little Village went to meet with Lori about what happened to the boy. And because they got boys' clubs, they got everything over there. You name it, even their schools, their stuff in churches. They gave it to the churches. They gave it to the businesses. And they got you out there, Martin, telling your community. Let me go to the phone. I want to see what Oliver's saying. Oliver, how
hey,
you doing?
I'm great.
I'm sorry, Oliver. I just can't take this no more. I'm getting old.
Neither can I. So I'll be 50 years old in November, and I swear to God, it was 30 years ago when I started listening to Lou Palmer on WVON, I didn't think 30 years from now we'd be in the situation we're in. I think it's...
You know, we was better off with doing the Lou Palmer days because we was sitting putting together a meeting to put together an agenda for black people.
And I was a young man and excited about it. About it 30 years ago. You know, it's sad we don't have any on the national level or the local level. And some people say we don't need leaders, but we all need groups. Everybody has groups that fulfill their agenda, that goes in and asks for what it is, and sometimes even demand what it is we want. And I saw during the last national election where we were shunning people or shedding people out if they went and talked to Trump. And I'm saying these people have got to be out of their mind. And here's what's sad, Alderman. I'm going to tell you something honestly in my opinion of watching Chicago politics and national politics for 30 years. Warnock and that coward, that other coward from New Jersey, they don't have the intelligence or the gall.
What coward? What were you talking about from New Jersey?
Corey. Cory Booker and
the oh, they just terrible. Their eyes bucket all big and stuff. Only time they talk is when it's about racism and people of color. They don't talk.
And they don't have the guts to do. Even though I may disagree with her, I understand where she's coming from. They don't have the guts or the political intelligence to take a note out of Tammy Duckworth's bag and tell the United States Senate, we're not going to pass any of your legislation, because if Tammy Duckworth can sway with just 50 and 50 and a Democrat who's supposed to be black as the vice president, there's not one piece of legislation that we shouldn't be able to force them to pass.
Well,
in the United
said,
States.
I'm not going to vote with you if you don't have the Asians. And black folks in
Cory Booker. That's what Cory Booker and that guy Warnock out of Atlanta should be saying to the Democratic Party. We're not going to vote or get anything passed. This infrastructure bill, this corona bill you just passed, we're not going to pass any of that until we get specifics, not just some little bitty piece of farm bill cut out for black farmers.
Oh, they're playing games with us. They just play misogynist.
When Trump added a tariff, when he saw farmers in America being shafted, he added a tariff to things coming in from China.
Well, most folks didn't know. I got to let you go, Oliver. Most folks didn't understand what he was doing. Just because they didn't vote for him, they thought they was on America. Other folks are leading us, Oliver. And that's what's
absolutely
so sad. It's so
showing us the way. They're not just leading, they're showing their people the way how to come into a country a millionfold illegally and not get arrested. They're not only telling, they're showing their people the way, and we refuse to really show each other.
I got you. That's why Tlaib from Detroit. Love you too. She was elected over a black woman. All she fighting for is other folks, and you got Omar, who haven't done anything to build this country. This country brought her here, rescued her, and all she's doing is talking about systemic racism, this and that, to get us up ahead. I tell you, y'all, wake up, everybody. Wake up now. Mike.
Yes, good morning, Dorothy. How
good
you doing?
All right.
And I want to wish you a happy birthday ahead of time. All right, you and your high energy. You know, you are a leader, and you are a proven leader. You've been out there proven and tested, and pooped up as very good and super well.
Thank you. Well, I got a lot of folks right now, Mike, so angry at me because of the positions I've been taking.
What I want to say here, Dorothy, is nothing but some common sense and some everyday strategy and idea. When you go to another country and you want to buy something, you got to know how to use their currency.
Mm-hmm.
What we have taking place here right now is a new currency coming in, and most of us don't know anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
We need a black school to learn about this new currency, and it's one of these cryptocurrencies out
big
there.
Big time. Big.
Already there that's going to go up 38 times perspective.
Well, we're going to talk about that one day on economics, because they went on the They went on the Wall Street the other day, whatever. They went on the stock market. But that's something to think about. And what these folks don't understand is they go up, our dollar go down.
Before us and in our pocket, it's going to affect everybody.
That's right.
From the young to the old.
That's right.
And everybody's using money always, all their life.
Well, you gave me a great
We need to be on top.
You gave me a great segue.
You got a place that you can have school every
But you
got
to understand education and economics in order to do it, Mike. I appreciate you. This song is for you, Michael. Mama might have, Papa might have, but God bless the child that got his own. Talk of Chicago, 1690, being Dorothy Wright Tillman. You got to have something. These folks, we've taken what God gave us and how much we worked, and we've given it to somebody else. But God, can I get a minute, Lou Rawls? God bless the child that got his own. Might come back with him. Lou Rawls, y'all, that great late, great Lou Rawls, one of the founders of the Harold Washington Culture Center. Yeah, come on, Lou, do it for him. Ain't nothing to it but to do it.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
Woo! Come on, Lou!
That's got his own. Yes, the strong get more.
Oh, my God.
While the weak ones fade.
What happened to them, Lou?
Empty pockets don't. They don't ever make the grave. grade.
I'll be right back, y'all, to coffee the conversation with me. I'll be right back. Empty pockets don't make the grade, y'all. Let's fill our pockets right.
Your papa may have, but God bless the child.
1690 WBON Sherman, Chicago.
I'm Jolisa Chapman.
And I'm Ray Harris on the Black Information Network.
At about 1:15 p.m. on January 6th, D.C. Police Commander Robert Glover was face-to-face with a massive crowd of protesters on the west side of the U.S. Capitol. He made an urgent call for backup and riot gear, but by the time help arrived, the Capitol grounds were overrun by a mob with plans to overturn President Trump's electoral defeat. Glover had already called for backup at least 17 times in 78 minutes, according to a Washington Post report. The mob on the Capitol's west side eventually swelled to nearly 10,000 people, outnumbering officers by more than 58-1.
A public outcry over police hypocrisy in Minnesota. Police in Hutchinson, Minnesota, responded to a 61-year-old white man who dragged an officer to his vehicle while wielding a hammer, which has many calling out law enforcement at large following the police killing of 20-year-old Dante Wright, which also occurred in Minnesota. WCCO reports the incident began when an employee at a home improvement store was attacked with a piece of lumber by the suspect. Shortly after, the man was spotted by police in a nearby Walmart parking lot and reportedly led the officer on a slow-speed chase, then came to a close near Hutchinson Mall. As the officer approached the vehicle, he was then dragged and struck on the head with a hammer before the man was eventually taken into custody.
The ex-cop charged with killing Dante Wright will make her second court appearance on May 17th. Ex-Brooklyn Center, Minnesota cop Kim Potter was released on bond shortly after her arrest. Potter faces up to 10 years if convicted of manslaughter. Potter is being represented by Earl Gray, a high-profile Minnesota defense attorney with a client list that includes multiple police officers. Gray is currently representing Thomas Lane, a former Minneapolis police officer who helped restrain George Floyd.
The family of Dante Wright says charges against an ex-Brooklyn City cop, Kim Potter, represent a sign of progress. Dante's mother, Katie Wright, describes what justice means to her.
I do want accountability, 100% accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like my sister said, the highest accountability.
Amen.
But even then, when that happens, if that even happens, we're still going to bury our son.
Dante's family stood alongside attorney Benjamin Crump. The shooting death of the 20-year-old black man has led to several nights of demonstrations and riots in Minneapolis, Minnesota suburb of Brooklyn Center. Potter resigned shortly after the shooting, along with the city's police chief.
And the trial of former Minneapolis, Minnesota police officer Derek Chauvin will move to closing arguments on Monday. Judge Peter Cahill.
We will convene at 9 a.m. for closing arguments and final instructions.
The judge reminded jurors that it's up to them on how long they deliberate on the charges against Chauvin. He's charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter for the death of unarmed George Floyd. I'm Jaleesa Chapman with Ray Harris on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
This is a BIN Tech Report. It's been 30 years since the World Wide Web arrived. And yes, internet use, broadband, and smartphone ownership have grown rapidly.
I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
No matter where you live, you're somebody's neighbor. And here, that means we help each other. We show up and help light the way when things get tough. And now for some of us, things are tougher than ever. That's why ComEd is providing financial assistance to those who need help with their energy bill. Call 800-EDISON-1 or visit ComEd.com/support to find out more. Because together, we can power through anything. ComEd. Powering lives.
Have you been experiencing fever, cough, or shortness of breath within the last 72 hours and are considering getting a COVID-19 test? If you are and are 50 years of age or older, please call Cedar Cross Research Center for a rapid test. If you test positive for COVID-19, you may be eligible to participate in a clinical trial for a potential COVID-19 treatment that is given via a single nasal spray dose, not an injection. Please call 312-431-6780 or visit cedarcross.com for more information. That's CEDARCROSSE.com. That's 312-431-6780 or cedarcross.com. That's CEDARCROSSE.com. As with any clinical trial, benefit cannot be guaranteed.
You can't grow your money under your mattress, so stop it. Learn how to protect it and build wealth. Tune in Sundays to Protect Your Money and Build Your Wealth. Powered by Top and Top Insurance Agency. I'm Betty Top.
And I'm Clyde L. Top. Our show will change your financial future and legacy.
We talk about protecting your assets, 401ks, annuities, life after retirement, the differences and benefits of life insurance.
And we'll take questions. Call us, mention WVON, and get a free financial consultation, 773-881-8110.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. to protect your money and build your wealth, powered by Top and Top Insurance Agency.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms can mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Better sleep means a better you. That's why Mattress Firm came up with the Rest Assured Promise, featuring the best mattresses from America's best mattress brands. Like the Tempur-Breeze collection, available now, with a $300 instant gift good towards your choice of sleep accessories. Visit with our sleep experts in-store, online, or by phone to find the right bed for you. Only at Mattress Firm, America's number one Tempur-Pedic retailer. Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Simeon High School's Ben Wilson was ranked the number one basketball player in the nation when he was tragically gunned down in November of 1984. It was a crime that shook the nation. Listen on April 20th at 7 a.m. as WVON's Rufus Williams sits down with Billy Moore, the person who was charged with Wilson's murder. Hear this exclusive interview as Moore discusses his new book, The Lion Speaks. That fateful day that changed his life forever. What he's doing now to help other young men break the cycle of senseless crime, and his powerful encounter with Ben Wilson's family on his journey to redemption. It's a candid conversation that all of Chicago should hear. Join us Tuesday, April 20th at 7 on The Morning Show as Rufus Williams goes one-on-one with Billy Moore on Ben Wilson 36 years later.
This is Rufus Williams. Join me as I sit down for one of the toughest conversations of my life. The murder of Ben Wilson became a defining moment for Chicago. Hear from the other side of the gun when I interview Billy Moore, author of Until the Lion Speaks. It's a story of redemption that we should all hear. We're WVON, Chicago's essential storyteller.
Hey, it's Cleopatra Draper, host of Rebuilding Black Chicago. WVON's Level Up contest is down to the final three contestants. We'd like to congratulate Javon Nicholas of Egg Rolls Etc., Angie Moore of Detox Life Products, and Nicole Fraction of Higher Staff Chicago for making it to the final round. On Thursday, April 22nd, you can watch the finale on WVON's Level Up contest on Vaughn TV at 7 p.m. Watch these three ladies go head-to-head as they compete for $5,000 in cash and prizes. Be there as they pitch their businesses before a panel of judges and see their reactions as they find out the winner of this year's Level Up contest. See the talent, the intellect, and promise of these three inspiring entrepreneurs who are ready to soar. It's the finale of the Level Up Contest, Thursday, April 22nd at 7 p.m. on Vaughn TV. It's easy to watch on your big screen with the Roku device or catch it on your PC, tablet, or mobile phone at BON.TV. WBON's Level Up campaign is powered by BMO Harris Bank.
From the Xfinity Studios at WVON, it's Smart Money Week on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. We're your original social media. Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the Talk of Chicago.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I've been to the mountaintop. He allowed me to go. Hey, y'all, how y'all doing? We back, y'all. That's Dr. King. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. No, Dr. King said he allowed me to go there. I don't know. Been to the mountaintop. I might not get there with you, but we as our people will get to the mountains. We get to the promised land. And I told you that's my play, Dr. King. Count how many times he always come back to us as a people. It's 7 o'clock. Wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world, to take that deep breath and be proud to be young, gifted, and black. Take a deep breath. Titus and Ebony over there. Black. You know, 3, 7, and 12, great numbers for the Trinity. Black. Is that black enough for you? Black. Don't move on up, y'all. Ain't that wrong being black? How long does that song tell you? How long does that song? Thank God he made me black. Get in line, y'all. it all. We the mothers and fathers of the world. Woo! Come on. That's the kind of energy we gave our children. We got to give it to them, y'all. We got to teach them, y'all. We got to take them back. We got to teach them about being black, about where they came from, and all the stuff that we endured ourselves, not other folks explaining it, but we got to explain about Africa and about black America. Woo! Hey.
I come here tonight and plead with
you. Pleading with y'all this morning. I'm pleading this morning.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
That you're somebody.
Hmm.
As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for
you. They don't want you to know this stuff. Yeah.
No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No
Woo!
Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free,
Woo!
He must move down into the inner resources of his own soul.
Reach on down there, y'all. Reach down to your soul.
And ink of self-esteem, manhood, his own emancipation.
Your own emancipation proclamation. Can't nobody sit there and tell you what to do and what to say and you follow behind like a fool. Put your own Emancipation Proclamation together, and you can follow us, or we're not going to follow you.
Don't let anybody take your man.
They taking it if they make an agenda that you follow.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed.
Just like the senator from Georgia, the other day, signed a bill he hadn't read, and that was to back up and say he signed something that was wrong. Read.
They couched it in language.
Yeah.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word.
I tell you.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure.
That's why y'all follow them, because it's pure, huh? No, you got the purity, baby. They tell you what to do, what to think. Look at the school. They tell you what to think.
I want to get the language,
right, y'all.
I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. Get it straight, y'all. Get it straight. I have a lot of faith in black people. I really have faith in the masses, because I believe that when the masses get the right information, they move. It's been proven time and time again. I tell you, the masses, when they get the right information, they move. And that's all we got to do is give them information. It is 7. I tell y'all, I'm having a good time. Dorothy Wright Tim, a coffee dinner conversation with me right here at the great WVON in the city of Chicago. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook, group Facebook. Ebony over there tweeting, y'all. The tweets are from my daughter. I don't know how to tweet. She in charge of my Facebook and my tweets. So when y'all hear back from me, just know Ebony ain't pulled that stuff down and gave it to me. Okay, and we on Blog Talk if you miss us. That's my disclaimer for today, y'all, when y'all don't hear from me. Don't get mad at me. And we're back, and I went through a lot this morning. I'm not going to go back because I want to talk to y'all about what's going on here, we as a people, and what we have to do. I mean, we really have to do this, y'all. And I don't want y'all to say, we want H.R. 1 because it's there, that it's systemic racism. And them folks don't even know what Jim Crow really is. It's Jim Crow. There's other folks that's defining that for you, and we know exactly what it is. Those of us who have gone through it, we know. So we have to put together on. I got the bill. I read it. The bill is not right. And I talked to a congressperson that I know from somewhere around the country. And I said, why you vote for that bill? They said, well, it's for the reds. I said, no, it's going to hurt the blue state, too. It's going to hurt the green state, the white state, all them states is going to hurt us because it's taking political empowerment away from us. Don't forget it was Nancy Pelosi who told John Conyers when we was going up there to have our hearing on Dr. Anderson bill with the Freedman bill in the Tulsa and repairing the damage, that she said, don't do it. I spoke with Dr. Anderson the other day, and I'm telling you, he looked and he said, I told y'all, And he did. So I'm going to go to the phone. I ain't going to talk too long. Pam, how you doing this morning? Pam? Pamela?
Oh, hi. Hey, how you doing, Dorothy?
I'm all right. Good morning to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and say, we don't have any leads. I've been talking about this. They lack guts and integrity. They're too busy trying to cut the ribbon, as you say, and cheese it and getting crumbs. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We got to understand the mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, met with the leadership from Little Village. And they laid out all the stuff before they released the video. And Little Village did not tear up their community. Be clear on that. Yeah, they marching. But that's because they have courage, they have country, they have business, and they have their community. And they're not allowing other folks to lead them what they want to do. Yeah, you want to march, we're going to do it. We're going to be outside. You're not coming here to tear up our community. And the same way all these folks coming here now over that boy, I'm telling you, it's a mess. It's a mess. And we are a sanctuary city in a sanctuary state, which means people can come here and violate the law. The only folks who think they can't violate is black folks. The one who built the country. I'll tell you, this is some slick stuff. These folks will strategically put folks in place all over the country, and we be in squares. I got my little brother. He ain't called me in a long time. I wonder what he want to talk about. Hotep Dorothy. Hey, how you doing, man, son?
Hey, Hotep.
I said my big brother. You my little brother. I might be a little older than you.
Well, you got me by about 3 years.
Okay,
well,
my little brother. Go on.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to answer a question that you had about, you know, who are our leaders and where do we have examples of that. Well, first of all.
Now, I said the leadership that deals with blacks, the agenda for black folks, not people of color.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, in COBRA is one, the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America. We just had a victory on Capitol Hill. We got the H.R. 40 bill out of that committee, you know, marked up just this past Wednesday, I believe, by a vote of 25 for it, 17 against it. So now it's going to the full House. You know, the reparations bill that was revised, you know, we know John Conyers wanted a study commission, but we also dealing with developing reparations proposals, so we see that.
Well, hold on. Is the bill to deal with the commission for the study, the repair and the damage?
Well, study and developing reparations proposals. You know, it's an action bill now. It ain't just studying.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay.
We got that out of the committee. That was a great.
It is. It's really great. Well, you said to deal with the proposal as to how to implement repairing the damage. That's what you mean, right?
With a budget and all that, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, furthermore, so Nkoba's been on the case. We have leaders like Attorney Nkechi Taifa, Masha.
Yeah, I know that. I know what Nkoba is doing, and I support Nkoba. Listen, wait to me for a minute, Mansong. And I support Nkoba, as you know, and I support. That's why I passed that ordinance, because Nkoba brought me. And gave me, Conrad on Nkoba came and asked me, would I pass a resolution? I said, we got to do more than a resolution. We're going to do an ordinance. He wanted the resolution, did the resolution. So we did the ordinance. So I respectfully tell you that I do respect Nkoba. But I was talking about another level of leadership, too. And excuse me for omitting Nkoba. But just know I'm talking about some other levels, too. And I'm glad. I'm going to talk to you later because I want to know about your action plan. I want to know about that, okay? All right, I tell you. Georgia. Georgia on my mind. The rain tonight in Georgia. Good morning.
Good morning. I just been sitting up here listening to you and writing down stuff. And I just got to put it out there. We need to stop the violence, get involved in more of these pro-black organizations, like you said, in Cobra.
How do you stop the violence, Georgia?
We got to put together a plan.
How do you stop the violence?
Well, I could say.
Do you think that if our school system educate our children more and put more folks to work, this might help with the violence?
Yes.
Because education.
We need to hold some of these parents. We need to hold these parents accountable.
Let me say this, Georgia.
What are their kids doing outside at 2:30 in the morning?
Okay.
You know, doggone well, when the street lights came on, we had to be in the house. If you're not in the house, you might be on punishment for the whole summer.
But we had a community. I'm talking about the black community. Had a community that looked after us. And so I think that black folks is missing the whole point of education. If our children are educated and our other children, our men, are working and trained, like or taught all these skills and stuff, what they have done historically, they're making us, our children and our folks, into criminals. Because they don't work, they're going to go find some money.
Pipeline to prison, okay?
Yeah, yeah, they don't work, they're going to go find some money.
If they're not educated and they don't know how to make money other than to do illegal things, mm-hmm. then they're going to be a revolving door right into the prison, just what they want.
Well, let me ask you this, and I'm about to go to another call. George, you know, when we were young, they had a lot of factories in the country. Like Gary had
to steal. I worked in some of them.
Gary had steel mills. We had factories.
The steel mill, and I worked at Zenith.
And
what
they did is, under some of these other folks, Clinton and the rest of them, they sent all the factories. All these resources, we still have to use them, but they sent them overseas.
Yeah.
So other folks are making them instead of us.
Clinton for that. The other black president. He ain't never been no other black president to me. Bill Clinton. He and Al Gore signed NAFTA.
Bush did it, too. Bush was also part of...
He was a part of it, too.
Yeah, Bush was also part of sending all of our stuff overseas, and even now. So they hated Trump, but Trump was saying, no, we got to bring this stuff home. We still use steel. We still... Yeah. And I remember talking to somebody in Gary. I said, won't you go up there and talk to him and tell him you want him to steal meals back in Gary? Oh, we don't like Trump. That ain't got to do who you voted for. Right now, we're talking about our people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We need to do what other communities are doing. We need to buy black, okay,
mm-hmm.
and stop letting them accepting and letting these people coming in here taking over our city. No.
Well, they're going to take over, but you got to have the resources there. People have to go other places and shop. We don't have those things there. That's what I was saying. Chicago is a sanctuary city. Illinois is a sanctuary state. The buses and the planes are being landed here tomorrow to your community, to your block, baby. You can hang it up. And they're going all over the country. And our folks are so busy hollering and hating that they don't see. I have to respect
and
the little village.
And you know, I guess I'd like to have a protest, but we ain't got to tear up where we
did. Well, they didn't tear up the village yesterday, did they?
No, they didn't. And they're not going.
I got to respect them.
To work over there. I used to work on 26th Street. Those people got it together. We could learn some things from them.
They learned from us. No, they learned from us when they enacted, and we dropped what we had. Thank you so much. Let me tell you something. They did not tear their community up. They met with the leadership, met with Lori, and they came on out, and they marched, and they was on our house last night. Boy, it was a lot of them. And then I saw some blacks out there. We're going to do this. No, they're going to keep it out of their community. Because they own their stores, they own their other stuff, and they really still believe in God. You know, they go to their church, their religious places. They got little boys, they got boys and girls clubs, they got YMCAs, they got all kind of things. And they got gangs and stuff like everybody else. You know, but I'm telling you now, let me see what Mama D want. Mama D, how you doing this morning?
I'm good. Hallelujah. Greetings to you.
Yeah, greetings to you too.
As a Jim Crow genocide survivor, all roads lead to population control. I'm concerned that American African women are dying during pregnancy twice the rate of white women and three times the rate of Latino women. And when you factor in abortion, that fetal abortion parts are being used in the COVID vaccine, our numbers are being decreased while everybody else's are being imported over here. Young men, theirs are being increased. So why do you think that there is
Titus.
So little discussion on that?
Yeah. They're not. Our black folks are not even talking about all these folks coming across the border. They said the children, they're being taught. All kind of things are going on. They're not, but they're more than children coming. It's men too. I mean, and women and families. And you have to take a moment, look on your block, and see what's going on. It is not just this. That Mexico come here and work and go back. It's not that. You got folks from everywhere. You got them European countries coming over here. You look at your community, say, the whites moving our community. No, what they're doing is being relocated to your community. That's what's happening. So I agree with you. Go on.
Well, what I'm saying is our women are dying two by two. If you're dying during pregnancy, your babies are not even being born. What kind of impact is that having on abortion and on our numbers to survive as a race of people?
Now, Mama D, you was a teacher, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm right.
Uh-huh. So
And I'm thinking that instead of expanding golf at the Jackson Park Fieldhouse, we should be expanding the history of baseball and having a state-of-the-art baseball diamond put there instead of golf that already occupies more space than all the other sports put together. We don't need golf. We need baseball for our young people so they can have some kind of recreational.
Well, outfit. You got to have it. You know, we've always had it. You know, we got to take back. We got to do something here, Mama. Our children stuck, and then they go doing stuff. The schools are closed. When they're in school, they're not teaching. They're teaching sex and other stuff over education, over math and science and all the stuff we need in language. Our children don't even know how to write. They don't know about pronouns and nouns and all that other stuff. All they know, they just do letters. You know, it's really deep, Mama Dee.
But you can learn bilingual English for free. You're not supposed to have your naturalization law if you don't know how to speak and write in English. Yet we have to pay to learn another language when we're the only people over here that American is our native tongue. We are just being injured on all fronts.
Yes, we are. And I can feel the pain.
We're settlers, and we don't seem to comprehend. We can get an ID because we have a birth certificate and a social security card. It's the ones that can't get the ID that don't want the ID.
But what I want you to do next time, we're going to talk about, because I haven't heard anybody talking about the remap on the black side. The remap and what HR 1 is, you need to get that and look at it, too. That remap is that HR 1 is really going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us very bad, Mama D. Thank you for calling. That HR 1, that black folks. You know what? I felt sorry for our black senator in Georgia, and they might not have shown on regular TV, but you can Google it. Well, he said he signed off on something that was incorrect. That law in Georgia, he hadn't read it, and people told him to sign off on it. He found out that he shouldn't have signed off on that law because what they were saying about Jim Crow and stuff was incorrect, even with the water was incorrect. He said that the other day, but I'm telling y'all to read before you sign off on anything. I felt sorry for him when he said he shouldn't have signed off on that because he didn't know what was in it. Yvonne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I refuse to disparage the family, the parents, or the community of Adam Toledo. And I want to talk about the police officer.
No, I missed what you were saying. What did you say in the front? You refuse to do what?
Disparage, to talk about, to talk
about. I don't think about on this show of talking about the parents.
Okay.
You're going to take us somewhere. Nobody said anything about the parent at all. We have
I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm hearing that all day.
Well, they haven't said it on my show because I won't let that happen.
Talk
about what's on my show. And I'm talking about education, and I'm talking about the fact that those people in Little Village went and had a meeting with Lori,
well,
the mayor, and they got what they were supposed to get, and they're not telling their community. But I would never dispute. You can't. I know what it is to be a parent and a grandparent, so you won't hear that on this show.
So do I. So
mm-hmm.
do I.
Okay. Anything
teacher.
Else?
I'm a teacher. Oh, I just wanted to speak that to say that I was a teacher at the Cook County Juvenile Detention Center
mm-hmm.
for 6.5 years, and this police officer became the judge, the jury, and the executioner
okay.
of this little boy when we have a juvenile court and we have a juvenile center.
You absolutely. My children's father, were you over there with my children's father when he taught? Jimmy Tillman taught over there one time, too.
No.
And you know what else, Yvonne? My granddaughter who had a whole thing going with Harold Washington going to YouTube, Jimmy needs to call me anyway about Sunday. If you go on YouTube and look at the Harold Washington Culture Center, and when you look, one thing that we do work with them, like over at the detention center over there on the west side, the children are allowed to come in and watch those shows. So they watched with it yesterday. We've been doing a lot of positive things with them.
When I was there, I invited you to come over and speak to the students.
That's how I know this voice. Okay.
So you had this big, beautiful hat on.
That's how I know this voice. Okay. I knew this voice. Well, look at Harold Washington Culture Center, and you'll see how we're working with them now. Okay. But no, I'm not disparaging the parent. I'm talking about leadership right now, and I'm talking about how they have not torn up their community. Thank you. Lewis?
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning, Lewis. God bless you.
God bless you. Okay, the reason why the Hispanics didn't tear up their community is because, just like you say, they are not being led. And along with that, Ms. Tillman, they practice a policy that was outlawed. It's segregation. And this policy was called separate but equal. Because if you look at it in Pilsen, there are no black-owned businesses in Pilsen.
Well, I don't know whether any blacks tried to go over there and have none.
But there are no black-owned
businesses. No, they have a community. Right.
And Chinatown neither.
Chinatown neither. Greektown neither.
Right. And so they practicing segregation right there in this city, and we don't even recognize it. But they have businesses in our community where they are taking the resources and the money out of our community back to their community and enriching their community. And this is why our community looks like that. And
no, our community looking like – wait, no. Our community is looking like this, not because of them, because we have free enterprise. When those of us who try to build for our community – we are all folks jump on us. We said when I was in 70-30, 70% of this land going to go to black folks, 30% to other. Blacks and everybody else went crazy. Now, when you look at in this city, all the black folks, you don't see no other race that would have displaced that many black people. All of Robert Taylor, all of Stateway, all of the West Side. And guess who was leading the fight? Black leader. Oh, tear them down. It's just terrible. The kids can't go to school. The kids getting shot. Rather than talking about this is what we got to do, deferred maintenance, because Harold said the building wasn't going down. We were going to deal with deferred maintenance. We was going to deal with all we had to deal with. We always let other folks tell us what to fight for. Now, we have a right to businesses, but it was black leadership that went and took and dried up the whole community so you couldn't have no clubs to go hear your music. Or they'll come hard on a black business, won't give them license. It's black leadership, not just that leadership. Some of our black representatives are also working against the Lewis. That's all I'm trying to say. It's not all those folks' fault because they come in our community and open up business. You go and buy the stuff.
But Ms. Tillman. You cannot open up a business in their community because they have associations over there and they won't let you open up a business in their community.
I understand what you're saying. I agree with you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they have currency and they have country. And if you saw the news the other day, you saw their leadership talking in one. They went down and when the mayor was talking, she was nervous. And the superintendent didn't even stand next to her. And I want to find out why he didn't stand there. And they didn't say gang-related shoot. They didn't say that like they do in our community. But the fact of the matter, she met with them. They put money over to help the youth and money to help the business. And black folks get mad and go tear up the little few black businesses we got.
But, Ms. Tillman, again, here we go. She defined our city as a
sanctuary.
Okay, as two cities. And what she said was they have – and on their side, they have what they call it. Okay, but on our side, we call it safe zones and safe areas.
safe passage, huh?
Yeah. And on their side, she call it family friendly. She call it family friendly.
Yeah, that's the language
I
keep.
They don't have that crime on their side, but we have that crime on our side. And just like you said, we have to go back to what they used in the past. It was called, like you said, the Freeman Bureau,
mm-hmm,
the Freeman
mm-hmm,
Act,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they educated
us. I have to go in a second because my whole board is lit up, Lewis. I've got so many calls on this phone. Hurry up. Wrap it up.
Okay. We got to go back. We got to re-educate our people and go back to the Freeman Bureau or the Freeman Act, you know, whereas
okay,
they
I gotta
educated
go.
Us and they gave us
I got to go, Lewis. I love you. I got to go because this phone is lit up. Okay, I really wanted to hear him some more, but I got to go because this whole board is lit up. I tell you, Jay, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Elmer?
I'm all right.
Well, the power structure here, politically, we are retarded.
You mean here in the city or in the country?
I would say all over, mostly in the city.
In the country, too. Okay, I got you.
I can't see how we keep reelecting the same people that put us in the conditions that we're in now. I don't understand it.
It's really deep. It's really deep. For the last 40 years, these folks took away our education and even our energy and our will to do what we got to do, and they're destroying our children, and a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and they're wasting our children's mind.
Yeah, just like I was just hearing a young lady comment earlier about the abortion rate. Well, they're teaching homosexuality. Two men and two women can't produce. So
no.
It's just the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the same as being aborted.
And we need to fight to get this sex stuff out of our schools. We don't need that. We need God in our schools. Let your parents at home teach you sex. I don't look in folks' keyhole, but you don't have a right to put that on my children. Thank you so much. Look, y'all, I got 15 minutes. My board is lit up. I'm going to try to go through this real fast and see what I can get. Reverend Witherspoon. Reverend Witherspoon.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Jim Lita called me. God bless you, too.
Yeah, thank God for you. I just thank God your birthday coming up.
Yeah, I'll be 74 years old.
You made over the promise.
Yeah. Okay.
So we thank God. We're going to keep moving in faith. Sometimes, daughter, we try to take a natural thing to solve a spiritual problem.
Yeah.
We can't take natural law to solve a spiritual law.
Well, one thing about those folks over there in Little Village, they believe in God. They still do their stuff. Most of them are Catholicism. Or either most of them, they go to church and all that. That's why they got this little boy painted on the wall with wings going to heaven.
Thank you. They're nice, though, but they unite. We can learn something from our radio. We still got to love our people.
Got to love. You should love yourself. I mean, you hate anybody else. That's what Harold said. Thank you so much. Look, I'm going to try to get through this. I'm going to try to get through it. Pastor Phil, you need to call me. Pastor Phil?
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. Good morning. How you doing?
Oh, okay. I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good this morning. Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and just encourage you and your listeners, because I know you're talking about the education piece and family. And just to turn in on the education piece, as you're saying, that it is going to take leadership within the family, leadership within the body of Christ, because the two bills that unfortunately that have passed is the REACH Act, which is the Comprehensive Sex Ed. We were talking about this last year when I was on your program,
mm-hmm.
and some things with Ebony and your other son about these bills. And so parents really need the support from the community to stand up and, as you say, to fight against these egregious sexual bills in our school. Because comprehensive.
What are some of the bills that they have passed down in Springfield for our children?
Yeah, so you have the REACH Act, which is now HB 736 and SB 647, and so that's the Comprehensive Sex Ed Bill, which will just encompass everything that you have shared and even your listeners have shared.
What does the bill encompass in terms of the sex and all the other stuff?
Yeah, so they're going to mandate comprehensive sex ed, which is including sexting for children as young as 8 years old, which is the sending and receiving authority sexually explicit messages.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're going to mandate all curriculum materials instruct and affirm the identities of homosexuality, cross-sex, sexual, and personal.
Oh, I got to go, Reverend Bills. I wish I could let you go, but that's too much for me, and I got a board lit up. That is terrible. I think that they're going to put that kind of stuff on 8 and 7 years old, and we need to teach our own children. I don't look at folks' keyhole, but you don't need to put your stuff on all the children. Thank you, Pastor Phil. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to talk to Jim Lita real quick, and I'm coming back to y'all. I want to see what First of all, I want to congratulate you on those children at the Harold Washington Cultural Center and Dorothy Jean's Institute for the program that they put on for Harold Washington. Those who missed it, you can go to YouTube, Harold Washington Cultural Center. It was really great. I sat there with tears in my eyes because I didn't know what they were going to do, but I was really proud of it. And also, you had Minister Plump was on there. I did outside by Harold playing the drums. Minister Plump, go on.
Yes, we want to thank everybody who made it take place, all the parents and the grandparents who talk to their kids, the ninth floor at the Harold Washington Library for giving us access to the stacks. And the students really enjoyed it, and they really learned a lot, and they want to build on it even more. This is just the beginning, and we thank you and WVON for supporting the endeavors at the Dorothy Genius STEAM Leadership Institute. Sunday coming up, we have Earth Day pre-activation at the Harold Washington Cultural Center outside, socially distanced, safe, masked up, where you can just drive by, pick up your seed, soil, pot, and dirt, and get ready to celebrate for Earth Day. Earth Day is actually April 22nd, but we're doing a pre-activation so you can plant with your families on April 22nd. So it'll be fun for everybody. For more information, call 773-373-1900.
You know, my mom, when I was growing up, and some of the older people know, they told us, get you a piece of dirt. You know, you get you a window, a pot to pee in, and a window to throw it out on a piece of dirt. That's what they told you. And that's because you can always grow your food. Thank you, Jemalita. And once again, thank the Harold Wash. Thank those children who did their research. And they did that.
Yeah.
Even all of that stuff on the Harold Washington Culture Center. And those who missed it should go to YouTube on Harold Washington Culture Center. They did a great job. Thank you, Jemalita. Okay. Carmella.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I have just called in because I'm frustrated, and I hear everybody, you know, I think we spend too much time talking about what everybody else doing instead of focusing on what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we do a lot of talking, and it's just time for, you know, solution, organization.
What do you say, dude?
There's so many facets of organization. It's community. You say what's wrong with our children, what's wrong with our people, it's us.
No, I'm saying that should we be fighting for our children's education? I think we talk every week. Education is the key. We're not fighting for our children to be educated. We need to fight for our men and stuff and our children to get vocational training and jobs. Those are things we need, yeah. But you got our people who got the mic. The folks who got the national mic, Carmella, is talking about brown and people of color. We have got to focus in on us. If not, we're losing several generations.
Yes, yes, lost several generations. You wonder why the kids is carjacking, and they have no love. I work with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I work with children for a long time. I used to blame the children, you know, because I know there are parents out there that are.
You sound like Anita.
And they struggle. And they're struggling, but there are also those children, and most of us who don't have kids, not I have kids, but most people who don't have kids feel it's not their responsibility. All children are our responsibility.
All of our responsibility. Look, Kamala, I got to go. My phone is up. You sound just like Anita, one of my callers that calls from Carolina all the time. But thank you so much. Okay. Oh, that's Kirkland. Let me see. I know Kirkland always got something to say. Kirkland, yes.
Oh, good morning, Oliver.
Good morning.
I'm going to show you how the psychological warfare they play on us. And we've always been woke, but we don't pay attention.
Uh-huh.
When they show you the video
of
this little 13-year-old boy, every time they show it, I don't care whether it's national news or local, they tell you how disturbing this is, and we're not going to show you him getting shot. You know,
you're right, Kirkland.
Disturbing.
You're right.
They showed you every 16 shots that hit Laquan McDonald.
There's a mess with our emotions.
They showed you the young man up in Minnesota when the woman said taser. They show you him getting shot.
You know you're right.
They showed you Kalando Castillo getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
They showed you the guy when they hunted that man down who was jogging.
Mm-hmm.
They show you black people.
Well, wait, you don't get us enough because I want you to your point is well made. You know why they do it, because blacks are already suffering from post-traumatic slavery syndrome. And we got a lot of drama going on. So what they keep showing us that, and then they keep talking about Jim Crow and all this other stuff, and they keep leading us around by our nose. You're absolutely right, because that's traumatizing.
They play games. We're not paying attention.
Yeah, you're right, Kirkland. I knew you was going to come up with something profound.
And I know, get to Will Smith, I don't want to see another movie about slavery.
Well, and he, for him to say he going to leave Georgia, he haven't even read the bill. I mean, more black folks are in Georgia than in Colorado. They got 9% up there, and they vote something messed up. And here you have what I was so hurt about our senator said that he signed on something before he read it, and he was sorry he had signed on denouncing that bill. I told my audience about that bill. I said, go read it. And they hadn't read the same thing. Kirkland, I want you to get hold to that HR1 they're trying to do in Washington, because I want to hear what you think about it one day, okay?
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. I tell you, when the senator, I can't pronounce his name, Wardoff, whatever it is, he said he shouldn't have signed on to something. It is SB1. Okay, Gina.
Yes. Good morning. How you doing?
All right. Ebony just told me it's SB1, not HR1. Okay,
okay,
I'm back.
I'm going to make this quick, love. The gentleman about three calls back was saying that the Latino community in Pilsen was segregated. We got to get the language right. No, they're not segregated. They chose to separate themselves.
Wait before you go there.
That's called separation. Separation is a choice.
Okay, you're right. And not only that, but they have currency in country, and they have a right. They have currency and they have country. We have currency and we have country, which is America, but we giving up that. And every time our leaders get a mic, they scared. They said brown and black. They are scared to stand on blackness of what our children need. They are scared. They like their lips start trembling. It's a disgrace.
No, There is no brown and black. It's only black or brown.
And then and other folks are taking care of their community. Those leadership
exactly.
stepped up. They stepped up, rightfully so, for their people.
Of course.
Thank you
Absolutely.
So much. Thank you, Gina.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Night to you. I got you. Mighty, mighty, mighty.
Hi, Dorothy. How you doing?
I'm fine, Mighty.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. It's May 12th. I'm a long way off. I said, well, I get
well,
to...
You know what? You know what? You need to get your girls to set up your Cash App so we can send you a love offer.
I don't need no love. That's all right. No. That's all right. You can send something to her or watch the coach. So not to me. But, no, I'll be 74, and I'm looking at stuff, being involved in the movement since I was 9 years old. You know, I'm just kind of analyzing this stuff.
Yeah, you're doing a real good job. But I just want to comment on the little boy at Tilson.
Uh-huh.
One thing about him is he did actually have a gun.
He did.
That's why they probably why couldn't riot. We don't be having no guns. Other people, they have a cell phone, and they kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. I got you. Thank you so much. I tell you. Anita?
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
Good morning. That's good. I called because you said what you said. I sound like me. I didn't hear what
somebody
you said.
Somebody sound like you, but okay, give me a minute, Anita, because I'm more.
Okay. We're going to survive all of this. And when they put up those pictures of those guys being shot, I say, remember Elijah Muhammad, and he was not violent. He was just very firm that it is going to stop. Whether he's here to stop it or the people that thought he was correct is going to stop it.
Okay.
So don't be afraid. But we can't let them kill our kids. That's a massacre.
No, we got to take care of our children. Thank you, Anita. We got to take care of our children, I tell you. Michelle.
Thank you, Dorothy. Listen, Kirkland, you're on to it. It's called, like that scene in Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is a... blood sacrifice. Little boy could still be alive for all we know.
No, he's not alive. I don't think so.
My point of calling is, Dorothy, Ebony is being trained by you. She's good. She's brilliant. She's beautiful. When you going to give her the mic? Dorothy, you know you got
to. She has to go get her own mic.
She got to get in front of the mic. You when you.
She all right. She got a mic. She got a mic.
When you long gone, who
I think Melody gave me the mic, and I think she expect me to keep it. Okay, thank you.
But my point is, Dorothy, we got.
And anybody know me know that I do put my children in front.
Dorothy, you ain't going to live forever, darling. When you going to let
I try to tell Michelle. Melody, I mean, she got it. Anybody know me know that I work very closely with my children. So, you know. Milton.
Yes, how
uh-huh.
you doing?
All right. Oh, by the way, she should know that I trained Ebony very well, so she don't know me. Okay, go Milton, I'm fine.
Every black man in America who's paying taxes is still enslaved to the white English Christian.
Okay, thank you so much. Milton always got something fine. Ms. Coleman. Grace Arrell.
Ms. Tillman.
Yes.
I just want to just say also, too, that's the same thing that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We are afraid to be black and speak up for our blackness. It's just pathetic how we have all these black elected leaders, but they are afraid to speak for us black people when we need it the most.
Why you think so? Why you think so, Ms. Coleman?
Why do I think so? They're
yeah.
afraid to speak on black?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That's a good question, because they're not, they don't have the courage. They don't have the courage. They lost.
Well, you know one thing I found out? Other communities elect folks who've been very involved in the community already, who have shown the bravery and been out there working. We just, we get black folks who have slogans.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
We do. We get slogans and symbolism.
Yeah,
symbolism and slogans.
Yeah.
And the money. I guess the money is probably part of it, too. But I'm sick and tired of other people pushing us here and there and including colors. It's not about colors. It's about black.
Well, let me say this, and then I'm gonna, let me say this, Ms. Coleman. Harold Washington, when he was in office, it was the first time in the history of Chicago that black leadership was held accountable to black people. Before then, They didn't. They weren't accountable to black folks. They got scared we put Harold in because black folks was playing. But you're absolutely right. It's not just elected officials, though. We're talking about anointed, those who have the mic. They are afraid to say black. They're scared. Thank you so much. I tell you, how many minutes I got over there? We got to do the Grapes of Wrath. Okay, thank y'all so much. Oh, my God. That's okay. Grapes of Wrath. Our children come in this world not of season. Yeah.
And the one who sent them, gives them gifts to carry. Tell them, children, take your time, but do not tarry. You will all arrive but naked, equally endowed to make it. You should have everything you need when you get there. You should never have to eat grapes of wrath.
Hey!
You should never have.
Our children should have to eat the grapes of wrath, y'all. They're eating it because we're not standing up for them. Education and all the things they need. Come on, Charles Bevel, James Bevel's baby brother. Come on, Charles. We'll do 30 seconds.
What each child will dream or how they...
Come on, y'all. What we do with them? Can't take no more calls, y'all. I thought we'll finish this next week.
Send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath.
Send them out to harvest the grapes of wrath. They're out there, y'all. It's our fault. We got to fight for our children. Just like every black parent have done since enslavement. It's not about you. It's about our future. We put folks in place that think it's about them and just their family, not the children, not the community. I don't tell my children that, and parents that you got to think about the whole community because you never know what your child's going to come out and bring home. I don't know what this is. Never have to eat the grapes of wrath, y'all. Emily just gave me a note, y'all. I'm about to congratulate Jarrell Edwards, Devontae Richardson, All-State selection, and All-State mention from Dunbar High School basketball team. They weren't eating the grapes of wrath. They was playing basketball. Come on.
And the children grabbed by rich one will be pampered.
Yeah, the one grabbed by rich one will be pampered.
And the children left to poor ones will be.
They're going to be hampered, y'all. We got to fight.
Why do we act like the
heathen? Why? We don't have. Come on, y'all. Every child is in our care. Yeah.
They should never have to eat the grapes of wrath. They should never have to eat
the grapes of wrath. Dorothy Wright Tillman. Next week saying, let's not let our children eat the grapes of wrath. Going to continue the conversation next week with some data. Come on, y'all. Until next week, Dorothy Tillman said, hey, we got to fight for our children. Until next week, congratulations, Manson and Cobo. Reparations now.
In this slavery industry, is this nation's foundation of economy? What bothers me is the stripping of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restrictions.
1:15 p.m. on January 6th, D.C. Police Commander Robert Glover was face-to-face with a massive crowd of protesters on the west side of the U.S. Capitol. He made an urgent call for backup and riot gear. But by the time help arrived, the Capitol grounds were overrun by a mob with plans to overturn President Trump's electoral defeat. Glover had already called for backup at least 17 times in 78 minutes, according to a Washington Post report. The mob on the Capitol's west side eventually swelled to nearly 10,000 people, outnumbering officers by more than 58-1.
A public outcry over police hypocrisy in Minnesota. Police in Hutchinson, Minnesota, responded to a 61-year-old white man who dragged an officer to his vehicle while wielding a hammer, which has many calling out law enforcement at large following the police killing of 20-year-old Dante Wright, which also occurred in Minnesota. WCCO reports the incident began when an employee at a home improvement store was attacked with a piece of lumber by the suspect. Shortly after, the man was spotted by police in a nearby Walmart parking lot and reportedly led the officer on a slow-speed chase, then came to a close near Hutchinson Mall. As the officer approached the vehicle, he was then dragged and struck on the head with a hammer before the man was eventually taken into custody.
The ex-cop charged with killing Dante Wright will make her second court appearance on...